The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 5th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on a gorgeous Thursday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. Chilly this morning, but a perfect day outside right now. And another perfect day to talk all things sports on the show and on the radio this afternoon. And my goodness, do we have a loaded show for you today. We'll tell you about it here in just a minute. But happy Thursday, Christian. What is that? What is that beverage that you have? No free pub.
No, just an unsponsored, unadvertised,
non-alcoholic.
That is very yes.
I did say beverage. So. This is not a Uncle T-Bone cold snack. That's a it's cold and
it
it's
is.
Not a true cold snack though. But
no, but
I can smell it from here.
Something to keep me going. I mean, yeah, it smells a little bit like battery acid.
Yeah, kind of the same color too.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you drink one of those.
No. Today's one of those days. It's been a long pre-show work day, but no, happy to be here. Happy to be here with Jungle Village now, as all of Quad 1 is completely full. I don't know if you've seen all the videos yet, but my goodness, everybody. They call it Jungle Village. I know Pearlsville was taking a little bit of hype in there as well.
I liked Pearlville.
I did as well.
I liked that better.
Especially if you put like a statue out, make it the Pearly Gates or make it something with BP if the statue goes right there, which it should. It needs to go right there with all of the students.
You think so? You don't think it should go down like across or next to
No, I mean it probably
to Chuck.
It probably should.
I don't know. That's how the football ones are. They're all stacked up kind of, and then the Big Hurt, you know, he's got one too. So I don't know.
I guess
that's
it's not fair to have it behind the arena where you don't see it driving by. I feel like that's kind of the
spot.
But just what he did with the students, and I mean, that was the first thing he did when he got off the plane, what, 12 years ago or whatever the case was. And
was
so
begging people to come to the games.
You've seen the results because of that. You've now seen the camp out that has already started for the game on Saturday and the game on Friday, or the match on Friday, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. With Coach Jeff Graba, we have our sit-down interview that we do every single week of the home meets, and Auburn and Kentucky should be very, very fun, and all of the students that do decide to camp out in the Pearly Gates, in Pearlsville, or in Jungle Village, they get free admission, which is really, really cool. We're going to talk about that here today. We're also talking, we finally have an update on Charles Bediako. You feel like we've brought his name up four or five times without major updates, but we do have at least one sort of update, maybe not necessarily on closure, but on when the closure should be announced, and we'll be able to talk about that here on the show today. Also talking games in college basketball. I know that we want to do a little bit of trolling. Jacob wants to do a little bit of trolling for a couple of teams that lost inside and outside the SEC. We get Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network to join us, as well as talking more NCAA football drama as Trinidad Chambliss was denied his sixth year of eligibility. Ole Miss's athletic department has responded, basically denying the denial. whatever that means. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to read that and talk about that all in here in hour number one.
Yeah, it's a loaded show today, man. So we appreciate you being with us, and keep it locked here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. There's definitely no reason for you to turn the radio dial this afternoon. And the text box is open all show long. So if you have questions for our guests, for us, comments, or just thoughts on anything that we're talking about, that's the best way to get involved today. Is 334-784-1067. Be sure you have that saved in your phone. Just put it in as a new contact. OTL text box, 334-784-1067. Don't try to call it because it won't ring. It won't answer. It will just ring into oblivion.
Magically enough, though, if you put a dollar sign, it goes right into Jacob's bank account.
It does. I will share my Venmo with you if you would like to support the show. But no, text us at 334-784-1067. The phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes of today's program. This is the time to get in, and it's right now. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. And I understand that there might be some people, I'll be honest, I'm getting to be one of those people that is tired of the Charles Bediako situation.
Very much so. Yeah.
I totally understand. And I understand that there will be some people out there today who heard Doug talk about it quite a bit on his show. I talked about it with Doug on his show, and we're going to start our show with it. But folks, this is a monumental moment in college athletics. I mean, we're talking about a narrative-shifting, ideology-shifting moment that's happening in front of our eyes with Charles Bediako. So I'm in the same boat as most of you. I'm ready for it to be done. I'm ready for it to be over. I'm ready to have some clarity. That's what I told Doug.
Yes, and that was the word I used yesterday. Yeah. It's just clarity on yes, clarity on no, clarity on whatever. I'm tired of hearing no news and just news in general.
And the can continue to be kicked down the road. That's what we talked about yesterday.
Just get it over with, regardless of what it is. But it's unfortunate because you're not allowed to have that thought process if you're the judge, if you're the court, if you're whatever, because you understand that this is not and so far beyond an Auburn and Alabama type thing, whether Auburn fans or whether Alabama fans want to talk about it. I know they've done a lot of comparisons with Philip Jovich, but there's plenty. I know that Texas or Tennessee players, rather, there were two of those that were named in the case that Alabama was wanting as well. But it's so far beyond a orange and blue glasses looking at the other side of the state negatively, because this could affect kids now. This can affect kids obviously, arguably from the past, and definitely kids from the future at every single level of basketball.
Yeah, and so if you have not seen, as of today, the latest update on the Charles Bediako situation, when we sat here yesterday afternoon, the idea was, okay, he's going to suit up tonight against Texas A&M. Right, we talked about that yesterday. He did suit up last night for Alabama against Texas A&M in a pretty good basketball game that we'll talk about in a little bit. But the feeling was, because of Bediako's camp pushing to push back and fighting to push back the hearing for another 10 to 12 days, the idea was that Bediako was going to get to play another 4 or 5 games, including the Auburn game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because we had little to no confidence in the new judge in the case to put their foot down and say no, to say, no, we're not doing that. I know you have 45 questions that you really want answered.
No, 38, I believe.
Same difference, right? And there was no confidence from us that the judge would do the right thing and say, no, we're sticking with your original, kind of original hearing, which is tomorrow on Friday, February 6th, which has already been pushed back once, remember?
Yeah.
But as of this morning, the judge did the right thing. The judge in Tuscaloosa County said, no, you're not, no, we're not doing this. We're putting an end to this right now. And I'm not going to go through and read the whole statement and everything. Doug did an incredible job on that during his show on the Max Roundtable. But basically said, you're trying to delay this. You're trying to give yourself an advantage. We're not doing that anymore. We're having a hearing on Friday.
Yeah, the judge basically called the bluff of Alabama that the NCAA wasn't doing.
And good for them. Good for him. Good for that judge.
For the judge to say, It's crazy that you want it to be postponed so you can play at Auburn, at Ole Miss, home for South Carolina, and home again for Arkansas, and then we'll try and have our hearing with five games left in the SEC schedule.
But it's so wild because they're 2-2 with him on the floor so far.
And last night wasn't much of an impact from
no.
him.
No. If this was a LeBaron Filon type of player, I would totally understand. And I've even admitted, I get why Alabama's doing it.
Yeah.
I do. Totally understand. But again, the judge today said, no, we're done. This is absurd. We're meeting tomorrow. So what that means is, tomorrow is the day.
9:30 Central Time.
9:30 a.m. Central Time tomorrow in Tuscaloosa County, a decision will be made on whether Charles Bediako can play for Alabama against Auburn or against anybody, whether he is eligible or not eligible. And when you think about that in a vacuum, the fact that they got to play a guy for four games who then might be deemed ineligible, it's like, okay, so should we take those four games away? Should we take two wins and two losses away from Alabama? A comparable situation didn't get near the spotlight that this one is, but Indiana football had a safety in Lewis Moore, who was kind of doing the same thing, except he played the first four games of the season before he was deemed eligible, because their argument was, well, until the NCAA says he's ineligible, we're counting him as eligible, and there's nothing you can do about it. He got his eligibility, he played the rest of the season, but that was the same argument, was that doesn't seem fair.
No.
If he's deemed ineligible, especially with Bediako, you cheated. You broke the rules for four games because there was a gray area about it.
And because of that, you still feel like, again, we're using the team Alabama, not necessarily from the Auburn perspective, but you could use any team in there, whatever, if Bediako was on any given team. But Alabama has the advantage over that side of things because, oh no, you want to take away two of our losses against Tennessee and Florida? Darn, yes, you're going to take away our win over Missouri and our one over Texas A&M, but you don't think they would agree to that?
Yeah.
They 100% would.
Mm-hmm.
Or it everything has to stay, and okay, well, he played in four games, and because they're not going to go and make Alabama then suffer a loss to Florida and Missouri and A&M. They're not going to give those wins to the other teams. And so, yeah, there's so many bullet points and subcategories to the what's next folder of this entire trial, which is something that will be very interesting, and that will be kind of what we turn our focus to once this situation goes, if it does not go in the way of Bediako is what he's already doing.
And at this point, my opinion is known, and yours is as well, but my opinion is, if this is the crap that we have to deal with, then just take pro players out altogether. That's my opinion. Not everybody agrees with that. That's fine. But that's where I stand. Is I said this with NIL. I said this with the portal. I'm saying it with professional versus non-professional players in college athletics. To get it back to the way it was, to get this back to some sort of normalcy. I used your word and told Doug earlier. I said, Kristen used a perfect word yesterday, the recalibration. And I think that's what we need. For that to happen, in my personal opinion, you got to be harsh. You got to step up. And you know what? You broke curfew. You're grounded for a month. I don't care. Everybody had that, right? Growing up, you did something wrong. You did it again. Your parents finally broke and said, okay, probably overpunished you a little bit. But guess what? It probably worked. You didn't understand it at the time, but it probably worked. That's where I'm at with college athletics. It's time to buckle down. It's time to be harsh. It's time to draw the line in the sand. And
because there hasn't been a line drawn in the sand in any regard to the NCAA in the last 5 years.
Correct.
With any topic.
Which sucks. This is a terrible situation. Because to bring it to the Auburn side of things, which Nate Oates did again today. Don't know if you saw that. I'm going to read it in just a minute. Because he went on with the oh-so-neutral Field of 68 podcast that has no favoritism whatsoever. To bring this back to the Auburn perspective, my opinion would mean, and if I got my way, it would mean Filip Jovich could not play for Auburn. Because of, in my opinion, to reset this, just don't allow pros at all. And that's harsh. And that punishes a lot of good people, a lot of good kids, a lot of great opportunities.
That didn't do it the quote-unquote wrong way.
Correct. But I think that's what it takes in all these different scenarios.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it takes. And tomorrow has a chance to be that with what the judge decides.
I guess this is a little bit of ignorance for not knowing the answer. And apologies, who was it? Ooh, Dr. Ward, before coming to Auburn, for my sports law class on, because I have no idea the answer to it.
You didn't take it with Rick Smith?
Not when I was here. I had that. That was one of my very few credits that transferred for some reason.
Oh, your sports media law?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But what stops Alabama from pursuing another action if Bayako gets denied?
I think there's a ruling in there. Okay. At least when it gets to this level.
This is when it's put to bed?
I believe so. When it gets to this level, when you start getting judges involved, because you see this a lot of times with, heck, we saw it with NIL and things where, okay, well, this judge said no, but I'm going to go to the state next door and I'll see if this judge can do it. You see that outside of sports and law all the time.
Because eventually the NCAA will fold because they don't want to get sued again.
Right. I believe, and I could be wrong about this too, but I believe when it gets to this level and once you've gone through so many steps and have been denied or whatever so many times or at a certain point, then you cannot go at it anymore. I think.
Which is how it should be, but
it's how it should be. And this is what's sad here too is this is the point we've gotten to because the NCAA can't do anything. We're having to get judges involved. The law is getting involved.
And then there's the follow-up questions of, okay, well, if he gets denied, who stops Alabama from going and doing something different or countersuing? And
yeah, well, hopefully, that's kind of my point to all of this, is hopefully the decision is made tomorrow one way or the other. I hope that, not because it's Alabama, not because it's Bediako, for the better of college athletics, I hope he is told, get the hell out. Yeah. That's what I hope.
And if that's the case, you hear about the Diego Pavia rule, there's going to be the Alabama rule. Because if Bediako gets denied, Alabama is going to do everything in their power to make it to where every single European pro will not play college basketball ever again.
Funny you say that, because Nate Oates had very similar comments today. And we talk about that when we come back. I know you've got thoughts, folks. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box as well at 784-1067. More on this from Nate Oates, the head coach of Alabama basketball. He hopped on a podcast earlier today, and his comments are just questionable at best. That when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Reminder, coming up at 2:30, we have our guy Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us over the phone lines. We get to talk to him about all three sports, I think. We're going to have a chance to get all three into him. His thoughts on the comments from Alex Golish yesterday, Auburn head football coach, had some media availability. Plus, we'll talk to him a little Auburn baseball as we're just about a week away from first pitch for the Tigers. And then, of course, basketball, where for the first time this week, we'll get to actually talk the game between Auburn and Alabama.
What happens, like, on the floor? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, they do actually play Saturday, in case you
forgot. That is really weird. You would think that it would just be like a political movement or party or something.
Let's just have a debate. Let's just set up two podiums and let Steven and Nate Oates have a debate.
Ooh. Split the crowd 50-50 and everybody has to answer?
Yeah, but you can't cheer or you get in trouble. And there needs to be a moderator.
And there can't be professionals.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, you made an interesting comment, Christian, as we were about to head to break, and it is right in line with what I wanted to highlight, right? Talking about Bediako versus international players, and remind folks what you said that sparked my interest about Nate Oates' comments today.
Do I remember? Oh, talking about how we know of what the Diego Pavia rule is with the junior college eligibility, and that is now what everybody calls it. If Charles Bediako gets denied, Alabama will do everything in their power over the ensuing months here and for the next year or two to make sure that there is absolutely no legal way for a professional, quote-unquote, whether that's European or wherever, to come and work their way into college.
Well, Nate Oates hopped
into college basketball.
Yes. Nate Oates hopped on the oh-so-neutral arbiter of college sports, the Field of 68 podcast, where...
That's where I go for my news.
Where one of the three hosts was wearing an Alabama hat today. And Nate Oates dropped the quote on Charles Bediako, said, quote, any coach with a European pro is pretty hypocritical if they're talking about Charles Bediako. He says, there's really not a big difference. We have to have consistent rules. He says, right now, those rules favor international kids. So sit on that for a moment. He says that the rules are favoring international kids and that there's really not a big difference between them and American pros. Seth Davis, very well-known college basketball reporter, has been a reporter for decades now.
Yeah, very active in this topic of conversation.
He quote tweeted that and had a pretty good take in several paragraphs. I won't read it all. But says, I understand Nate Oates' point, but he is misstating the facts. Seth Davis says, the rules make no distinction between American and international players. They do establish a difference between NBA players and guys who played in pro leagues but only received, quote, actual and necessary expenses, end quote. He says that distinction is up to interpretation, and that's where the legal challenges come in. I want to stop there for a moment because that is correct, but that is something that has not been brought up all that much.
No,
right?
Hasn't.
A lot of these players, Filip Jovic, for example, we have talked about the idea that there is no high-level high school college ball in Europe. When you are good enough to play ball, you get recruited to play professional basketball. That's what happens.
At 12 and 13.
But the payment that they're getting is not five-year contracts for $30 million a year like we're seeing in the NBA, or even two-way deals or 10-day deals or whatever where you bounce back and forth between the G League, NBA, and all that. They get paid, for the most part, especially at younger ages, actual and necessary expenses. I would assume that is the law and things over there to where
very
they can't
so,
sign
yeah.
major deals and be full-time employees, right? They get paid for their room and board, if you will, without actually going to school. So Seth Davis says that, saying that Nate Oates is misstating the facts. He goes on to say that the notion of pros can't play in college basketball, and yet many college basketball players make way more money than the pros, is also vulnerable to challenge.
That's irrelevant. That proves how wrong the NCAA is.
Yeah. Well, he says the NCAA is trying to draw that firm line in the sand. Will it hold up? Good for Seth Davis for calling out Nate Oates and saying, hey, buddy, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're speaking out of one side of your mouth to benefit you.
Yeah, knowing sure and well that you're saying only the things that benefit you into a certain aspect. It's like being told half the story. And you got to go to the other person, and then you hear the other half, and then you figure out what's true and what's not.
That should not be the case.
No.
We shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to jump through 80 flaming hoops to get an answer here. But that's the problem. You've got a grown man, a head coach of an SEC organization that's refusing to acknowledge what is right and what is wrong.
And in doing so, deflecting it onto, yes, other schools, but my goodness, does Filip Jovic come up in his every single conversation?
It's to the point where if you lie enough, you start to believe it. That's what's happening here.
Right, but also if you lie enough, the truth begins to get more and more blurry.
Yeah.
And the road doesn't stay straight and narrow. you begin to kind of fall off and forget some of the things. But yes, you begin to convince yourself that what you are saying is true.
Yeah, which is sad, really. It's sad to see the attention that it's getting. The final thing that Seth Davis says, he says the rules are very clear that if you play in college and go through the NBA draft, you are ineligible to return.
And when has that become a gray area?
Why has that become a debate?
Right.
That is a written rule in stone. And that's what Doug was talking about with me earlier. He said, that's the rule. Since when do we just have the ability and the flexibility and the power to challenge the rules?
It's this crazy thing that we've lost a lot of in the day-to-day world of just any sort of accountability.
He says, don't worry, though. Congress will fix it. That's what Seth said.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry. I wanted to read that because the quote from Nate Oates is just so tunnel vision. But Seth Davis called him out for it, and I'm really, really happy that he did. Stephen Pearl is currently meeting with media, or was about 20, 30 minutes ago. And the quote that he gave on this, I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah. Shout out our boy Trip Upton, who's with us in the studio today, who, when we were talking about this over the break, said, well, go look at Nathan King's X accounts. Stephen Pearl on Charles Bediako, quote, I feel for the kid. What happens tomorrow if he gets denied? What does he do? I hope the decision makers in that room have thought that through. I'm almost rooting for him to be able to play on Saturday. A quote from Stephen Pearl, Auburn head basketball coach. Is that playing into the tale? Is that not allowing bulletin board material? Or do you think that's generosity and that's a genuine feeling of, because if this happens, what happens with Phillip or the rest of the future?
I don't know. I'm not going to speak on how he said it or why he said it. Someone in our text box says, can Filip Jovic just go off on Saturday, please?
Could you imagine?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Give me a poster.
Yeah, we'll talk to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day in the Auburn-Opelika area. And we get to our first guest of the afternoon, a guy that has been with us for well over a year now on Thursdays at 2:30. We're grateful for him, his time, his friendship, and our working relationship as well. He is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, I know it's a busy time for you, my friend, getting ready for another broadcast with the guys on Saturday for basketball, and then baseball starts a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't it something? It's that calendar is undefeated. It never stops. It never slows down. And what a great time it is to get to be involved in this. And I mean, you got a perennial or a unanimous top 10 consensus top 10 preseason baseball team and a basketball team in the top half of the standings with a huge separator game coming up in 48 hours. And lots of cool stuff going on. So yeah, it's a good time. And oh, by the way, women's basketball today and softball starting today as well.
Brad, can you see Jungle Village from the office yet? Has it reached that far?
No, but that's just because of the placement of the line and the fact that I don't really have a good, like, I got to crane my neck to see around the student center. So no, not yet, but man, they're already out there. That line was big earlier today. So there's no shortage of enthusiasm for this.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here on the Plains. And we'll get to basketball and talk about the game itself between Auburn and Alabama. There's been so much talk outside of the game, of course, but want to get your thoughts on Auburn and Alabama coming up here momentarily. But a rare occurrence, Brad, we get to hit on all three major sports on the program today. And we start with football as Alex Golish, head football coach for Auburn, had a media availability yesterday talking about the full signing class for high school recruiting, the transfer portal class that saw dozens of names added, and of course, just previewing what this team can be coming up this fall. Your takeaways from what he had to say, a couple of quotes that the internet took and ran with, of course, but just your thoughts on what the head coach had to say yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. You got an insight to the fact that the guys that he brought in from South Florida weren't just because they needed bodies, but he brought those guys in because over the last couple of years, they have developed within their system. And a lot of those guys, most of those guys had SEC offers in the first place. But because this coach builds relationships and sells guys on visions and develops them according to those visions, they've developed into SEC caliber players. And they developed a kind of relationship where they wanted to follow him and try to continue or take the next step in that vision. And so I like that. I thought the offensive line comments were really interesting, and people are kind of taking and running with the quote about praying for the offensive line, but they're conveniently clipping that before the next part, which is, now we're going to pray about it, but we're also going to work really hard. And that's kind of the crux of the matter, is honesty, transparency about the line, but also it doesn't just have to stay that way. They're going to work hard. They're going to compete. And you could see a lot of fluidity there in the spring. I thought his comments about the running backs were interesting, that, you know, he twice mentioned they're going to run the heck out of the ball. And that I think makes Auburn fans really excited, really excited. And so you need a huge, deep stable of running backs to do it at the level, with the physicality and the speed that they're going to do. So, you know, I'm biased. I'm not going to come on here and say I didn't like anything he had to say, but I was truly impressed. It was great.
From an Auburn head coach as well, to be able to talk about the fourth quarter, and you train for discipline to be able to go finish in that fourth quarter where Auburn has struggled, especially and mightily in those last 15 minutes. I mean, he hasn't coached a game yet inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, but you know that mentality so far, based off of what you've talked about and that quote right there, feel like it brings a little bit of relief knowing that you got somebody with a little bit of edge and he's going to go out and compete harder than just about everybody.
Yeah, and that's never, like, I don't think we've had anything that would say otherwise about this coach. I mean, he's not into, you know, not into talking about what's wrong with this, that, or the other, but it's like, all right, this is our situation, let's go get it. And he's not into waiting 2 or 3 years. He wants to do what needs to be done to win now. And my goodness, the Instagram pictures of him above the clouds in the plains and going to visit this workout center and this recruit, and they just haven't slowed down. And so he is living up to that reputation that he has earned that preceded him of being a hard worker. And in press conference one, talking about outworking everybody else, that can sound really cliche until you go out for the next month to 2 months and back it up. Now, we haven't seen a practice yet. Haven't seen a game, can't see those things yet because it's not time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can judge it by, he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
I think so. And I think it has Auburn fans excited and ready even in the early days of February. We've got Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7 during the Thursday edition of On the Line. Let's move on and talk a little baseball. We'll get into more details this time next week since it'll be the eve of the start of the season. But you talked about it when you started, Brad. I mean, consensus top 10, some saying top 5 team in all of college baseball. We've been highlighting a lot of the individual accolades that are already out there for this team. I mean, I can't remember a season and a preseason hype like we're seeing for Auburn baseball, but rather than diving into that, how does Auburn perform with all of that preseason hype? Because it's so easy for that to get in your head and say, we're the best there is, we are top dog, and then not live up to those expectations.
Oh, I think if you had a different coaching staff, maybe it would be easy for that to happen. I think that there's too much substance. You know, the rankings and all that are the they're the window dressing. They are an extra talking point. There's not really any substance to them until June, though. So I think this coaching staff instills, like, from the time they build relationships with guys as high school players or during the portal period in the off season. These players know what the program is all about, and it's not window dressing. And I just don't think a Butch Thompson-led program, it isn't going to be negatively affected by low preseason projections, and it isn't going to be negatively affected by high preseason projections. There's just too much you know, the structure of the house, the foundation, the walls, the roof, those are all too strong for window dressing one way or the other to really affect them, in my opinion.
And Brad, I don't believe that my name has the power, but maybe if you send the email and you CC Jacob Goins in there and, you know, you just let him know or let everybody know who he is, then we need to find a way to get more than two home games on TV in the SEC schedule. I mean, 8 of the 10 are at other ballparks, which is nice that Auburn's able to get that credit. But my goodness, Plainsman Park, one of the best atmospheres in the country, only two games on TV?
Oh, I don't care if any of them are on TV. Auburn Sports Network coverage starts 15 minutes before.
Yeah, Wings 94.3, baby.
Yeah, Jacob said it best.
Yeah, on me.
Wings 94.3 here in Auburn, Opelika, and on the Auburn Tigers app. Right, Brad?
100%. 100%. Listen to all 9 innings with Andy Burcham and me all year long.
Well, speaking of Wings 94.3, that's where Auburn basketball will be on Saturday.
Brad,
it was
batting practice. That was teed up perfectly for you to shout it out.
He lobbed it in there, man.
I Bub Terrell'd it, too, over the right field wall.
Well, excited for the baseball season again. That does get started next Friday. That's a week from tomorrow as Auburn baseball welcomes in Youngstown State. But Auburn basketball back in action on Saturday inside of Neville Arena, coming off of the loss to Tennessee. No midweek game. We got some updates of Stephen Pearl just wrapped up. Some media availability, and we'll get into some of the details of that in just a moment. But, Brad, we're going to resist from talking more about the Bediako situation because that horse is nearly dead at this point that we've beat it so hard. And we know the update that tomorrow morning is the hearing, and we'll see if he does suit up against Auburn or the rest of the way. But I want to talk about the game itself because I feel like that has overshadowed the actual on-court matchup we're going to see. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, it really should be. You've got a team that wants to take 40 threes in Alabama, and long shots mean long rebounds. They get a lot of they miss more than half their shots, so they get long rebounds. And Florida was able to dominate them in the paint. Texas A&M doesn't play a paint game. They play a perimeter game, so it was strength on strength in those two going at it last night. And they played kind of the game that the helter-skelter, up-and-down, frantic pace kind of disorganized game that you would expect them to, and it was an entertaining game. For Auburn, you got to get back to being physical and rebounding and scoring in the paint and getting to the free throw line. They will foul. Alabama commits more fouls per game than any other team in the conference, and so that's got to play into Keyshawn Hall and Filip Jovic's hands and Keyshawn Murphy and Elijah Freeman and the others and Tahad, but especially Hall. Who gets to the line more than anybody else. That's, you know, Auburn needs to attempt 30-plus free throws in the game Saturday if it's playing its brand of basketball to come out on top, I think.
And you mentioned Keyshawn Hall. We got an update on him and that shooting hand. Stephen Pearl said that he had 3 stitches in his hand against Tennessee and is able to get healthier during this bye week with no game in the midweek. I mean, that's only good news at this point, the fact that he didn't have his best game against Tennessee. They had the week off, and you hope that he can be near 100% coming up on Saturday because Auburn's going to need him to hit his average, I would think.
Yep, we'll have to do it. And again, more than anything else, get to the foul line. Draw the foul. Yeah. Put them in foul trouble and then convert at the free throw line. He doesn't have to score 20.5 for Auburn to win, but if he does have one of those games where he's clicking again and he's in rhythm with his shots and drives to the basket and threes, then Auburn's in a really good spot. You're also going to need you're going to need Jovic. Those guys are going to battle Bediako. If anybody who thinks Bediako is not going to play in a game, they hadn't paid attention for long to the way things work in our state. So he's going to play in the game, and you just must be ready to match the physicality from tip-off. That was something. Tennessee was the more physical team from tip-off a week ago. You can't wait 4 minutes, 8 minutes to get into the flow of the game. You got to have used your off week to be primed and ready and physical right from the start.
Last question before we let you get out of here. Again, Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joining us as he does every Thursday at 2:30. With where this matchup falls on the schedule for Auburn, right? First nine games are in the books in the SEC slate. Back half begins on Saturday. Coming off the loss against Tennessee with two top 25 games coming up after this. With where the game falls on the schedule, a win on Saturday does what for Auburn to kickstart the back half of SEC play?
You're going to hate, I mean, it's such a boring answer for me. I'm not going to, it puts you a game above, it puts you two games above 500 in conference play with eight to go. It puts you a game separated from Alabama, maybe Missouri. I don't know who Missouri has. It keeps you two games out of first place in the SEC with eight to go because Florida and Texas A&M are both 7-2 mm-hmm. and they play Saturday. And so the winner of that's going to be 8-2. You're going to be a game out of second place, two games out of first place with a win against Alabama Saturday. And then you go one at a time from there with 4 weeks to go in the regular season.
That game, 3 o'clock Saturday inside of Neville Arena. Pre-game begins at 2:30, tip-off at 3. Over on Wings 94.3, Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey will have the call. Brad, will you be at courtside for halftime and everything?
Yep, we'll be there, and looking forward to it. It is such a, I mean, it's one of those pinch-yourself deals to get to be involved when Auburn and Alabama play in any sport. There's no better rivalry in the country. It doesn't matter what the sport is. So, yeah, we're blessed to get to be there Saturday.
And a busy weekend begins tonight with Tiger Talk, along with Auburn women's basketball. So plug all that, plus the game on Saturday and what people need to know, my friend.
All right, Tiger Talk tonight at 6. We have Jackie Pearl to talk about Outlive. We have Stephen Pearl to talk about the open midweek and the Alabama game Saturday. So that is coming up, and we look forward to that. And then, like you mentioned, Saturday we go on the air at 2:30 from Neville Arena, and we'd encourage everybody to come out to Baumhauer's Victory Grill for Tiger Talk tonight at 6. Have dinner and a show with us, and then tune in Saturday for Hoops as well.
Looking forward to it all, man. We appreciate the time as always, Brad. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll do it again next Thursday where we get to dive deep into Auburn baseball as they get the season started.
Looking forward to it, guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday, 2:30 here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And again, a busy couple of days coming up with Tiger Talk tonight over on Wings 94.3, Auburn women's basketball inside of Neville Arena tonight. They are that broadcast here on ESPN 106.7. And then, yeah, Auburn basketball on Saturday afternoon.
And he brought up Florida and Texas A&M.
Dude, huge game.
I forgot that was this weekend.
I kept thinking that was in the midweek.
You go look at some of these games that are taking place this weekend in the SEC, my goodness, you could see some moving around in the standings.
I mean, you talk about a weekend that could really maybe not determine the conference and the league, but will definitely have an impact.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, this isn't LSU and Mississippi State. I mean, you're talking Texas A&M and Florida, the two top teams in the league standings, on top of Auburn and Alabama, who are two teams. Like Brad said, you win this game, you're right back within two.
You got Ole Miss and Texas. You got Tennessee and Kentucky late at night. I mean, this is
That's in Rupp, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have...
I was talking to a Tennessee fan earlier today. He sounded quite nervous about that Kentucky game.
You have Arkansas going on the road to the Hump. I mean, there's some big-time games that could really shake up the standings, and we'll be able to dive into a little bit more of those tomorrow. But I know you have a couple of games that you want to be able to talk about from last night to fire you up to end hour number one.
Oh, it's going to make me so happy. Oh, get ready, folks.
This is borderline Chicago Bears blowing a 21-point fourth-quarter lead.
Yeah, there's some things in this world. When it comes to winning and losing for my teams, I hate losing more than I like winning. But winning makes me very happy. But teams that I despise losing games might just make me even happier. And we talk about that and wrap up hour number one right after this on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here in wrapping up hour number one, rather. We're not quite winding down yet. We still have some time to go on the show this afternoon. But wrapping up hour number one, and we've got about 2 minutes.
I was going to say, you can turn my mic off and just go to town.
Last night was awesome in college basketball. The main highlight was Alabama-Texas A&M. That game, of course, was against it was the number one team in the league, and Alabama trying to fight as a top 5, 6, 7 team in the SEC. And in Tuscaloosa, A&M comes to town. Bediako played. Didn't really make them a whole lot better. But Alabama find a way to get it done. That terrible defensive game. 100-97. This is early 2018 NBA where it's like, wow, they hit 100 points. That's so crazy. Now they score 150. But defense was not the name of the game.
Defense was optional. Mid-range was non-existent. Three-pointers were praised and desired, and my goodness, did they shoot a whole bunch of them. And I mean, for the way that both of those teams played, it was a very similar style of basketball, and Alabama made a couple more shots than Alabama did, or than A&M did. And one of the funniest things is the 10-second violation that was not called that Bucky was asking for. And we did see that the clock was at 15 seconds even. They called the jump ball with 15 or with 5.1. So it was officially 9.9 seconds, but a lot of A&M fans are complaining that there should have been a review saying the ball went through the net at 15.7 and they didn't add any time back.
Aww.
And so then to troll in response, everybody is going in posting the Bucky McMillan video that he used on the plane leaving Neville Arena, talking about, well, if it's a millisecond too late, it doesn't count. And
yeah, karma.
Pretty funny right there.
There was another game last night in college basketball.
Was there? One that 8 people watched, right?
8 people watched it, but everybody laughed at it, including Jacob Goins. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, the 6th-ranked team in the country, they took their talents on the road, and man, I'd had no idea that the Pilots of Portland,
who are now 2-28 against Gonzaga all time,
4-8 in their own conference, 11-14 on the season, and the Pilots said, "Take this, Gonzaga, 87-80." I just hate to see it. I hate to see bad things happen to good people, man. Gonzaga. What a tough road trip that was. Note to self, don't schedule games with Portland. They're too good. They're too talented. They're too dangerous. We may as well put Gonzaga and play them against Hawaii. Maybe that's a good enough opponent that Gonzaga can beat. What do you say now, Mark Few? Worry about your own league, brother.
He said it's okay. We'll make it to the first weekend in March.
Hour number one's over. We're back in a moment.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us again on just a perfect day in the Auburn and Opelika area. And mention hour number two is here. Hour number one is in the books, and man, we had some fun in hour number one. We talked the latest updates on Charles Bediako, who has his hearing tomorrow. They tried to get it pushed back. They tried to get it delayed. And the judge in Tuscaloosa County said, all right, we're done. We're meeting tomorrow. Let's get this thing settled. So we talked about that and what that means for whether he will suit up on Saturday for Alabama against Auburn. Plus, we talked a little bit about the games in college basketball last night as Alabama takes down Texas A&M. So they're on a little bit of a hot streak coming into Neville on Saturday. I also got my chance to, shout out my Gonzaga Bulldogs just to make sure. I just want everybody to know that they played last night. That's all. I don't want it to fall through the cracks.
You don't want anybody to know that they were 30.5-point favorites and not only didn't cover but just didn't win. I mean, just anything you can do to shed light on the program.
Anything I can
do
to promote the program, I'm going to do it. For the sixth-ranked team in the country, 22-2, 10-1 in their league, that deserves a shout-out.
I mean, 10-1, I mean, playing high school and JV girl, I mean, it's pretty solid.
Well,
but their one other loss to the one other really good team they've played being by 40.
It's almost like when they play good teams, bad things happen.
It's okay. Just give them until the round of 32 or the Sweet 16, and we'll go from there.
I'm just a big Mark Few fan. So we talked about that as well, in case you didn't see it. The statistically biggest upset of the year happened last night in college basketball.
Yeah.
To the Portland Pilots. How awesome is that? So we talked about that in hour number one. And we also had Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, who joined us in the first hour as well. We got to talk all three major sports with him. So if you missed it, you can always go back and check out the podcast version of the show wherever you get your podcast, or the easiest way to find it is our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two at 3:30, we have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joining us on the phone lines as he does every single Thursday at 3:30. We'll dive into a little bit of the Bediako drama, but more so on what the stages could be in the future of the SEC and just the league as a whole. We'll dive into a little football conversation as well. Maybe talk a little college baseball. I know he's a big LSU Tiger fan, and the LSU Tigers expect to have another big year on the baseball diamond. And so we'll have those types of conversations. We'll also have a little conversation about what a Big Ten general manager said on a NIL demand from one singular player, and you just will not believe the conversations that go beyond traditional dollar signs that you really only think of when you think of the NIL side of things. And so we'll dive into that, but we want to start hour number two with a really fun conversation every single week of a home meet. We have the opportunity to sit down with head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, Jeff Graba, as Auburn takes on Kentucky inside Neville Arena tomorrow night. That's a 7 o'clock start for the match, but the doors and the gates open at 5:30. Everybody that's in Jungle Village will have a free ticket, a free attendance, which is really, really cool that Auburn has now kind of boosted that into making it one of the best student sections in all of the Auburn all of gymnastics, but a nationally known brand is Auburn Gymnastics, both on the talent side of things and in the student section. So we had the opportunity to sit down with the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, Coach Jeff Graba. We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, which means we get to continue a very, very fun conversation as we turn our attention to the gymnastics floor as Auburn gets set to host Kentucky tomorrow night inside Neville Arena starting at 7 p.m. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've met with this man, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, Coach Jeff Graba. Coach, we appreciate your time for joining us. I know that this season is absolutely flying by, so the days I know get piled up, but we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We know that it's been, again, 2 weeks since we've been able to talk with you last. You faced Florida at home, and then last week you go to Athens to take on Georgia. A little bit of a combined question that I'll let you kind of take off and run with it. When you look at this stretch or this season as a whole, what are some of the things that you've liked most about your team? Where do you see the most improvement, and where do you still see that the most growth that needs to happen over these next couple of weeks for the Auburn Tigers?
Well, early on in the season, we're a very young team, so it was about getting experience.
Sure.
And I feel like we've done a good job of that. We've used a lot of different lineups, a lot of different people in different positions, and really started to get to understand who's good at what. And, you know, not just from the coaches, but also the athletes need to trust each other as well. So we actually have utilized the first four meets to a high degree to get ourselves figured out. And I So that's been something we've accomplished. You know, one of the things moving forward that we want to get better at is, you know, we're, like I said earlier, we're young and we've got to figure out how to get started early. We've, one thing that's been typical of us these first four meets is we've started slow. So we've had a couple of really good opportunities where we started fast and it's been really a fun meet. But we've also, our tendency is to, you know, start a little bit slow. So that's really what we're trying to, you know, dial in February is how to get this young team to figure out how to come out of the locker room fast.
And how, again, just from the coaching perspective, how is that able to be done? Is that just something with open communication, or is there a specific strategy that goes into starting everything fast? Again, like you said, so that way you can have a really, really fun rest of the meet?
Yeah, I think it's a coaching strategy, too. It's a little bit of everything. It's them having their themselves put together, you know, not having... Really, we have one senior on the team, but she's technically not completely a senior. She has 1 year left of eligibility. So with really nobody as a senior on the team, a lot of young people are leading a lot of young people.
Sure.
So coming out of the locker room fast is important, and they've got to figure out how to get themselves on that page. But, you know, we trained it differently. You know, once we figured out that, you know, that Arkansas meet, we came out slow. We did a lot more work in practice about, you know, getting there fast, getting things moving quicker. One thing that meets do catch these young people, NCAA meets compared to what they came from, which is Junior Olympic and Olympic level meets. Those meets move a lot slower than NCAA meets. One of their meets would take 3 hours, an NCAA meet will take an hour and a half. So the pace is significantly different, and we've just had to really invest in getting them to move faster.
Well, the best chance is you get another chance to do that here tomorrow night, Auburn hosting Kentucky at 7 o'clock inside Neville Arena. The doors will open at 5:30, and for those that have not attended, the show before the show is so spectacular. So 5:30 is really the time that you need to get there. And Coach, while I know that we talked about this, of how gymnastics is not necessarily one team straight up competing against the other team, what kind of challenge does Kentucky present, and what are you emphasizing here heading into this meet?
Well, I mean, Kentucky's been a perennial power. I mean, it's the SEC, so everybody in the SEC is really good. Kentucky's actually probably very similar to us. I think they're pretty young this year, and they're very talented. So, for us, it's a matter of, we know the team across the floor is good enough to make the Elite Eight and the Final Four. They're at that level of talent. But, you know, like you say, we gymnastics is about us, not about the other team. Mm-hmm. We don't get to play defense. So our job is to come out and stay focused on what we can do. Try not to get distracted with where the score is and all that type of stuff. I think, you know, Kentucky's going to do the same thing. You know, this is a really good environment for us. We want to get that student section hopping. We want to make it as difficult as humanly possible for Kentucky and as easy as humanly possible for us. And that comes from the Neville Arena crowd.
You mentioned that crowd, as we have Coach Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics with us on the phone lines during the Thursday edition of On the Line. Auburn Gymnastics is known nationally for the environment that the crowd and the student section provide. And with the student section already camped out for basketball, I would imagine so, with the weather clearing up, it's country night inside Neville Arena, and all of the students who are in attendance, in line, camping out, will have free admission to that contest. How much does an atmosphere like Neville Arena elevate your team every single meet night?
Oh, it's a tremendous advantage. It's one of the reasons all these top athletes want to come here, is they want to compete in front of this student section and a sold-out arena. We love the fact that they're camping out. We love the fact that they're going to be able to get out of line and come in, not lose their spot in line.
Yeah.
We're going to feed them Chick-fil-A sandwiches. They get cowboy hats. So we're really encouraging them to take that hour and a half, get something, warm up a little bit, get something in your belly, and enjoy a great meet, and then go right back and get in line and camp out for the big matchup on Saturday with basketball.
I mean, Chick-fil-A, a cowboy hat, and a gymnastics meet. I mean, that's worth the price of camping out. in itself. Coach, wanted to be able to dive into a couple of individual players as we continue our conversation with head coach of Auburn Gymnastics. Jeff Graba, sophomore, Marissa Neal, has been rock solid all season long in the all-around. What stands out to you about the consistency that she provides on the floor every single night, and why should this Auburn fan base continue to learn her name and be excited about her future with this program?
So she's just a gamer. I mean, she was about to do this last year in February when, you know, she got shut down for a few weeks. And this was one of the big losses we had last year, is we just weren't able to get her full speed in the all around. What you're seeing is what she's fully capable of. This is one of the top athletes in the country. We were lucky to get her to commit to Auburn, and now she's showing everybody what she's capable of. She's just a tremendous asset to this team, a calm presence, a very strong competitor, somebody with a lot of will and determination. And, you know, what you're going to see is one of the best athletes in the country compete on every event for Auburn. It's going to be fun for the rest of the year.
Another player for you, Coach. Caitlin Jong makes her return a couple of weeks ago. How has the process gone from her getting back up to game speed or getting up to peak performance? And what does that mean to have her back in this lineup as she continues to build momentum as well?
Well, I mean, score-wise, just getting her in the bar lineup is going to help.
Yeah.
She's one of the best bar workers in the country. And she is the first two meets. It's tough to get dialed up after you haven't, you haven't competed in a year. So it's gone well. She's really now starting to hit her stride. So I think she's going to really start to take off here and do a great job. But, you know, just the score is that's not even half of what she brings to the team. Her presence, her demeanor calms everybody down, lightens everybody up. She's one of these tremendous competitors who can keep it light and fun and calms the lineup down around her. So it's just so much easier when she's in the lineup to be able to be a tremendous leader on the floor. So we're getting a tremendous amount from Kiko when she shows up in our lineup.
And you mentioned the name Alex Irvine. You feel like the word reliability comes to mind. She's been very, very reliable. Her presence for you this year, what has allowed her to really take that next step and provide not only that reliability, but consistency for this team?
Yeah. You know, she was training these events last year and really, you know, got her way in on the bar lineup. But I think one of the things she figured out last year was if she made a good investment over the summer, that she was going to, she could see herself starting to become an all around competitor for us. Just that determination. First off, she had to see it. And I think she saw it last year, got a taste for it. And the investment she made over the summer and fall was just tremendous. So it's just, this goes to show, like, you know, put your mind to something and get after it and good things happen. Because she's, you know, three events. She's probably she could be in three events for sure. She's been in our depth chart, and she's making a name for herself coming up in vault two. She could be in the all around. And what a huge surprise for everybody outside of the team. The people on the team, this is not a surprise, but just been a great story. And, you know, she brings some leadership qualities to the team that we need. So the more events she's on, the better we get.
Head coach Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics joining us here on the phone lines to start hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. And coach, everybody talks about the players and them getting more comfortable and them continuing to learn with their role and their routine and the timing, which you mentioned earlier. But from a coaching perspective, from your standpoint, what do you enjoy most about the season? Or even more so for that, what have you learned about yourself on the coaching aspect when it comes to this team?
Well, each year is different, you know. I guess I have to learn something about myself every year because, you know, there's a system that we follow, but we definitely, each team is unique. Each team has its strengths and weaknesses. Each season brings its challenges. And so being able to adapt is something that I feel like we've done a good job of and that we have to continue to do a good job of in order to, you know, to stay in a top 15 ranking in the NCAA. What I really like about this team is this team has a lot of desire and a lot of dedication, a lot of focus. And, you know, that's some of that stuff you can't teach. You just hope that you have a team that's willing to do anything humanly possible to be good. And that's definitely this team. I don't have to get them motivated. So it's been an enjoyable process all fall and in the early part of this season. But we're now in adaptation mode for the coaches. So, you know, stay light on your feet. That's all I can say.
Very much so. Yes, sir. Well, when you are evaluating a meet, what's something, again, going into the coach's mindset, what's something that you immediately notice, whether that's about your team, the fans, or maybe the opposing team, that the home team or the home crowd may not pick up on any given night?
It depends on where you are in the season. Early part of the season, it was a lot more about giving opportunities to people and seeing what they can do with it.
Sure.
We are now starting the part of the season where we want to become more predictable. We want to put people out there and it's going to be on them to rise to the occasion and show that they can be reliable to their teammates. So it isn't just every night you're trying to find the same people every single weekend, because if you do that, you can't make 15 meets with the same six people in the lineup.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's just too grueling of a process. So if somebody needs a rest, you need to know who to go to. So a lot of this early chunk of the season has been experimentation. But right now, we're just trying to get into predictability. We definitely in the next two or three meets have to be settled down, and now it needs to become our six. So there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes as between the athletes and the coaches than just trying to put out the best kid.
Shows the difference in gymnastics than other sports, right? How you want to become predictable, to know what you're going to put out on the floor, rather than every other sport. You feel like that's a disadvantage if a team knows exactly what you are going to do. Head coach of Auburn Gymnastics joining us here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. And coach, while I know that gymnastics is not necessarily a winter Olympic sport, still a big time Olympic sport, but with the Winter Olympics coming up here in just a couple of days, or actually starting yesterday, I believe, but the official ceremonies on Friday, tomorrow evening, is there a specific event that you find yourself watching and appreciating the same way that the common fan enjoys and appreciates gymnastics?
Oh, I mean, snowboard, any of the snowboard, the aerial skiing stuff, all of that stuff. That's just because it's, it ties right into anything acrobatic. I'm
sure,
watching
that.
And anytime there's somebody gets to flip, I think all the gymnasts are going to be watching that. Plus, there's quite a bit of carryover, between aerial skiers and snowboarders and, divers and gymnasts. We all have there's something about us that doesn't add up. We're crazy enough to go out there and flip. So we're all going to watch each other. But all the other stuff, downhill skiing, all of that, watch Lindsey Vonn, see if she can do this thing. And I love the Olympics, winter or summer. I love watching the Olympics.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to the start of that. Also looking forward to Auburn and Kentucky tomorrow night. The event starts at 7, but again, the show before the show, doors open at 5:30. Coach, when fans walk into Neville Arena tomorrow night, what is it that you want them to see from this team, whether that is that starting fast, whether that's just energy, the growth, or the competitiveness that they put on the floor?
Yeah, what I want them to see, what I want our team to show is a tremendous amount of positive energy, trying to rise to the occasion, come out strong, come out fast, and keep that momentum. If they see a good vault rotation moving into bars, they're going to know that our girls have accomplished what we've asked them to.
Coach, we appreciate your time, as always, for taking the time to join us. It's Country Night inside Neville Arena. Should be a fantastic atmosphere, and it starts with you, the listener, and the students, for making it a great atmosphere. 7 o'clock tomorrow night inside Neville Arena. Hope to see you there. And, Coach, we look forward to being able to talk to you again here real soon.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We'll take a break, come back, and continue our quick conversation before Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joins us here in just a little bit. We continue on with the Thursday edition of On the Line right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, sat down with Christian and previewed their meet coming up tomorrow inside of Neville Arena as Kentucky comes to town. And, man, Jeff Graba is such a good interview.
Yes.
He's so good, and he gives great answers. You can tell he loves what he does. He loves his team. He loves Auburn. He's still one of the best coaches in the country when it comes to gymnastics, and we are so glad and thankful and grateful to be a part of it and helping promote their program. And so shout out to him and Kendra at Auburn, the SID for gymnastics. And
yes.
Just really enjoy what they do. And yeah, another meet coming up tomorrow. I don't know if any tickets are still available, but because that place sells out, the night atmosphere is fantastic.
Oh, I mean, it's incredible. And I got to talk with him for back-to-back weeks and – or I guess back-to-back – interviews.
Prior we're about to every other week right now.
Yeah, prior to when Florida came to town, and talked to him about the difference in atmospheres or the difference in environments, because it's not necessarily like in Neville Arena. There's 9,100 people that are cheering against the other team. It's more of a, again, you're cheering for your home team, but you also get to see greatness on the floor. And it's such a cool thing to be able to be a part of. Yeah, doors open at 5:30 rather tomorrow night, and so many people. If you go, you know all about it. The show before the show that happens on the floor, which is absolutely awesome. And then yeah, the main event for about 90 minutes is absolutely amazing. And the selling point that you talk with everybody about, and Coach Jeff Graba praises for it, saying, walk in the doors, come sit down and watch another meet. I promise you, you will be back for another one, and it's so true.
Yeah, so again, appreciate Jeff Graba taking the time again this week to talk to us here on ESPN 106.7. We will have, we're in the process of getting Auburn Equestrian head coach Jessica Braswell scheduled for another interview as well, as the spring season of Equestrian is quickly approaching. And stay tuned next week with two big head coaches from Auburn Athletics will be joining us on the airwaves in back-to-back days. So be sure you tune in for that.
Should have timed it up better with the music. I mean, the little teaser on the way out.
Well, I wanted to get to some text from Eric in Auburn, who I hope is still listening. I'm sure he is. He is a loyal listener and a loyal texter to the text box. He was
and a warrior.
He's like the ringleader of the On the Linebackers. He is.
I would say so.
I think he's the one that came up with that, so we should probably give him the credit. But he had some great text during the Charles Bediako stuff in the first hour.
Yeah.
He said the court decision is huge. If he's allowed to play, then there really isn't any amateurism anymore. He says the length of eligibility would be next. You already see the JUCO guys challenging the NCAA and want credit for their lack of income potential for those years. He says a wise man once said, what we need now, oh no, what we need now is work, self-discipline, and passion.
Passion.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. That's good stuff right there.
You know who else has passion about the SEC?
Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, one of our longest running guests on the show. He joins us over the phone coming up next.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us as we are in the home stretch of today's show. And we get to the phone lines once again. A busy show today, and we finish it out with our man Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, in one of the busiest times in the league right now between basketball, off-court drama, and baseball starting next week. Chris, I'm sure there is a plethora of things for you to talk about on your show right now.
Yeah, it's wild, and it's like what's crazy is like the biggest sports stories, three pending court cases here with Charles Bediako on the basketball side of things, and then Trinidad Chambliss and Joey Aguilar on the football side.
Yeah, I mean, what's your take? I guess we'll get to Bediako in a moment, but the big news in terms of football is that Chambliss got denied, and we would assume that applies to Joey Aguilar as well, right? What do you think the next steps are in that situation?
Well, they're two very different cases. You know, the Aguilar thing is, it's basically a replica of what the Diego Pavia thing was a year ago that he won, basically arguing that his JUCO years shouldn't count against his D1 eligibility. And, you know, they granted Pavia and a bunch of other guys, you know, another year from that. Well, with Aguilar, he spent a couple of years at community college and then, you know, made the leap to D1 a couple of years ago, played 2 years at App State, had a cup of coffee at UCLA before he transferred to Tennessee. So really, he has a fourth year, you know, if you're going by that standard of, you know, D1 availability. Now, a lot of people say, no, those community college years count, you're out of eligibility. So, you know, the NCAA's denied him, but, you know, this whole thing of, well, if you don't like a ruling, we're just going to go to our local courtroom and have our local judge rule in our favor. And that's what's kind of happened here preliminarily, is that he was, you know, deemed, okay, he's eligible to return. Now they have to have a hearing for his injunction. And if the judge rules in his favor, Joey Aguilar is going to get another year, and he's going to get to play football for Tennessee next year. Now, I would have said 2 weeks ago, talking to people around Knoxville, they put it probably at like 10% chance of happening. It's very much now 50-50 on him being able to return. Now, the Chambliss thing, you know, everybody in Oxford has been pretty damn confident about it, and it does sound pretty cut and dry. I was told on their, you know, side of things, that yesterday's ruling was expected. Like, this was the last chance for the NCAA to go, you know what, why let this thing get tied up in a courtroom? Let's just give the kid another year. NCAA has been pretty firm on this, and his is different. His is, he spent a year at Ferris State not playing on top of a redshirt year that he already had, and they're trying to blame it on he had a tonsillectomy or tonsillitis, and they're saying, oh, he was injured that year, he couldn't play. Well, the reality is he got beat out that year and he wasn't going to play anyway, but they're trying to say he should get a medical year for that, and it sounds like the Ole Miss graduate judge that's going to hear this case next week is fully expected to say Trinidad Chambliss deserves another year at Ole Miss, and that he's going to get it. So, you know, right now I'd put Chambliss probably about a 90% chance of returning to Ole Miss. I'd put Joey Aguilar right at about a 50-50 right now.
Ole Miss's statement saying that they will continue to pursue all available legal remedies and will publicly stand behind Trinidad while holding the NCAA accountable for a decision that fails to align with its own rules, precedent, and the documented medical record. What is eligibility, Chris? We don't even know what it is anymore.
I call BS on it. Like I said, it's a reality of they're trying to go back after the fact and go, oh, he was hurt that year, and you know, they've got documentation that he had a medical procedure and all this, but people I've talked to have said, yeah, it was kind of understood he wasn't going to play that year at Ferris State, but it is what it is. Look, they've got $5 million on the table ready to pay him. They've got Keewon Lacy back. They got all these dudes back next year to run this thing back and try to go on a playoff run. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Nothing against Deuce Knight. I think his future looks bright, but there's a big difference. Look, if you get Trinidad Chambliss back at Ole Miss next year, you're talking 10 or 2 or better. If they got a roll with Deuce Knight, it's probably a 7-5, 8-4 type season at best. So there's a lot of Ole Miss money and wins and reputation at stake here if they're not able to get them. So of course you drop some BS and say, you know, our livelihoods are at stake here. Of course you're going to put that kind of stuff in there.
Well, Chris, as we're handing out percentages here, you talk about Chambliss and Aguilar for football. How about Bediako for basketball with the latest update this morning? Of course, Bediako and his camp said, no, we have some questions we need answered, like how much are professionals in Europe making for their housing and travel? We need to know that before we get together and meet. And the NCAA has nothing to do with it. The judge in Tuscaloosa County said, okay, enough is enough. We're meeting tomorrow. So in your opinion, percentage of Bediako playing on Saturday against Auburn or playing any other game in an Alabama uniform?
Yeah, I think this one is trending back the other way towards, you know, the NCAA possibly. You know, there's a lot of people that have been outraged by this and think it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't think it has anything to do with Charles Bediako, the person. Nobody's saying he's a bad human being or a bad person. It's just, it's ridiculous from the standpoint of you went pro and you played in a professional league in the G League and got paid by professional teams, the San Antonio Spurs and others. It's ridiculous that you were able to return back to college. And I get it. They've opened the Pandora's box with the the European kids who played pro ball, letting them come play college. But, this could be a big push back the other way if they were rule in favor of the NCAA and go, no, this isn't right. He shouldn't be playing college basketball. So, I don't know. I would have said the other day I thought Bediako would have kept playing. And it's funny that they picked, what, it was going to be like February 19th. He would have played in five more games at Alabama before that next hearing.
Yeah.
And at that point, if they had pushed it back any further, there would have been only five games left in the season. Mm-hmm. My thought is, I think his reps are just trying to keep kicking the can down the road and let the season end and just keep letting him play. So this will be really fascinating to see what the ruling is tomorrow. And look, the reality is, since he's been back, Bama's 2-2. It's not like he's been anything like earth-shattering. What do you have, like 5 points and four rebounds the other night? It's you know, like, if you're making this into a movie, it would be kind of a dud of a movie because it's not like this dude came back and has set the world on fire. So, you know, we'll see. But, like, I said it on the Bama end. Like, I don't know if Bama really, like, needed him. It's not like this is, like, some big player that was the one missing piece for Bama this season. They've kind of underachieved so far this year. But I don't think Bediako's made them, hands down, a way better basketball team. But part of me is hoping he plays on Saturday, guys, because I just want to hear the creative chants and signs that the Auburn student section comes up with.
Well, Chris, before we dive into the baseball side of things, did want to be able to ask about that Auburn-Alabama game, one that we know that the entire country will be paying a lot of attention to, and unfortunate that there's so much court drama that takes away from what has been a historic rivalry in just Auburn and Alabama, and even more recently on the hardwood. What are your thoughts on Alabama coming to Neville Arena on Saturday at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, like I said, they've been kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde team. It's like, you know, they were lucky to get that win last night against the feisty A&M team that's played way above their heads this season so far. But, it's like they, you know, Kentucky was like this a couple weeks ago. It was like take one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. You know, Auburn was starting to kind of figure things out, and then they had the dud last week. You know, by the way, kind of weird. We only had four SEC games during the week this week.
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot of teams got the week off. But, I think it's advantage Auburn. I think it's kind of what this series has been the last few years. I think the home team should hold serve. And, you know, when they go to Alabama, probably Auburn. But hosting Alabama at home, they should win this one. So we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, it's just – It's very odd because at the start of the season, man, I was very high on this Alabama team, and they've been a middle of the pack team so far. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on in college basketball halfway through the SEC slate, and it gets going in the back half this weekend. Of course, Auburn and Alabama. You have Texas A&M and Florida this weekend too, Chris. I mean, some really pivotal matchups in the SEC. Your thoughts on where the league is as a whole, especially in comparison to what's going on in the Big Ten, the Big 12, UConn out there as well. I mean, as long as teams like Gonzaga keep losing to Portland, we might be okay. But your thoughts on the SEC right now halfway through this slate?
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by the league's not as good as it was a year ago, but that's not to say they still can't get a handful of teams into the tournament. You know, Florida, the last several weeks or so have started to play a lot more like the Florida team that, you know, cut down the nets last March. So, you know, we'll see what they are. I think that they're still pretty damn good. Kentucky seems to be figuring some things out. I know OU stinks, but they took care of business and beat them last night. You know, I said it on your show last week. I think, you know, I thought A&M was a little bit of fool's gold playing above their head. You know, they lose to Alabama. If they lose to Florida, suddenly this thing starts to skid and A&M comes back down to kind of where we thought they would be. And, you know, look, I still think Tennessee's super talented. Auburn is still certainly a team that can make some noise before it's all said and done. So, there's some teams that can make a run. It's just, like I said, I don't know if, like last year at this point, man, I was sold on a bunch of these teams. Like, the SEC is going to do some damage in the tournament. And they did, but I don't feel that confident this year.
And Chris, flipping over to a sport that we know is dominated by the SEC on the diamond, how can you not be romantic about baseball as college baseball gets started on Valentine's weekend? Your overall general thoughts, I know we'll dive into that a little bit more next week and as the weeks go on, but your opening thoughts on the excitement of college baseball in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Everybody's loaded once again. I mean, I'm about to start getting into my deep dive, and of course, it looks like just about, you know, at least half the league's got stud Friday night starters that are going to be, you know, going to be problems for the rest of the league. And you know, I think Auburn, looking at them on paper, should be a postseason team again. I know, you know, the heartbreaking way to finish last season kind of sticks out in your mind, but I love the catch. What's the catcher? Frelick. I like him a lot. They got some pieces, so we'll see. But, you know, this is that point in the year. Like, you got to come out of the gate strong and, you know, series sweeps and 2 out of 3 against teams you're supposed to beat and get some confidence up. But, yeah, the league is loaded. This is breaking news, but SEC baseball, the league's loaded once again.
Yeah, it is. And SEC softball is underway right now. Auburn playing North Florida on the road are the Tigers in softball. So lots going on around the SEC, and nobody covers it more or better than Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And got to get your quick thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Not that, I mean, there's a lot of SEC guys represented there. And your thoughts on what could be a great one on Sunday, blowout, who knows? What do you think about the big game on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I'm rooting Patriots just from a standpoint of, like, I don't have a dog in the fight either way. I don't care. I mean, the Sam Darnold story would be cool if he wins a Super Bowl, but I was talking to somebody about him today. They're like, he would just basically be like Nick Foles. It would be like, oh, that guy won a Super Bowl? Oh, that's cool. But, like, kind of be forgotten over time. The Drake May story is kind of cool. If the Patriots win it, the storyline becomes, is this the start of the new Patriots dynasty, right? So I think that'd be kind of funny to, you know, Robert Kraft to turn to Belichick and Tom Brady and go, well, boys, appreciate what y'all did, but we got the new flavor of the year in. So I think that'd be a cool story.
Yeah, Drake May in his sophomore NFL season to win a Super Bowl, that'd be pretty remarkable. And the last time Patriots and Seahawks got together, it was pretty dramatic. So we'll see how that goes. That's, of course, on Sunday. But Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, he covers the Southeastern Conference. He'll be doing so again this weekend for basketball and, of course, all the legal judge NCAA battles and things. So, Chris, tell the people where they can find everything you got going on over the next several days.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. And as we get closer to spring ball, guys, we're going to start having some players joining us, some player interviews. Got a couple Auburn guys that are slated to join us sometime in the next couple weeks, so keep an eye out. Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast.
Chris, always appreciate the time, my friend. You're one of the staples of our program, and we can't express how much of fun we have and how much we look forward to this every single week. So enjoy the weekend, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, fellas, and Stephen Pearl, we trust.
And Stephen Pearl, we trust. That's right. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. And yes, Auburn softball playing right now on the road in North Florida. They're away from J.B. Moore Field. But getting the season started, which, I mean, does it feel earlier than
very
it typically
much so.
Is?
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, I think we're just so freaking busy now that we just, it's like, oh, yeah, softball. Oh, yeah, baseball. Yeah. Oh, yeah, spring. Here we go. But, my goodness, yeah, crossover season across the board is here. And the crossover season from basketball to baseball is so much worse than football to basketball.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In terms of being busy.
Yeah, in terms of the weekly calendar, because high school football, you know, at least on our calendar, you know we're busy Friday nights and Saturdays basically all day with college football and the day up in the air of when Auburn plays. But with high school basketball and baseball, I mean, that could be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then all of a sudden, yeah, now we're both in postseason play with the area tournament, fully expecting to be in full swing of postseason play, and now, yeah, baseball gets started. I know the Navy and Red, Lee Scott scrimmage, they did their entire draft last night, and so that comes on Friday and Saturday, I believe, so might have to make my way out to the ballpark to go watch that. But, yeah, then all of a sudden baseball can be those midweek games too, and so very different than most people think, where they think football is the most busy time of year. You're able to mark off certain days, you really have no idea when it comes to the other two.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday is pretty much the only day. But even during college baseball, yeah, college baseball, Auburn, you know, always cleaning on the, you know, the getaway day.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a crazy time right now for sure. But, man, it's one of the best times of the year. We're so blessed to do what we do and excited to continue all sorts of coverage for Auburn High School and for Auburn University, high school stuff, and a whole lot more. So let's take our final break. We'll come back and wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get out of here. We'll hand it off to the drive coming up from 4 to 6. And it's been a great show today, man. We've had three wonderful guests join us on the program. Two of our regular scheduled guests, and then another one who has become a regular scheduled guest over the early part of the gymnastics season. We have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network at 2:30, Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics at 3, and then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. So those three wonderful guests, plus we've given our thoughts on what's the word I'm looking for here? Ongoing development.
Drama.
Yeah, the further development and drama.
Debacle.
Of, yeah, that's one of my favorite words. I love it. Debacle. So awesome. Charles Bediako stuff, which hearing tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. So we will get to react to that first thing tomorrow. So go back and listen to the podcast version of today's show if you want to catch any of those interviews, those conversations as well. Been a lot of fun. And I say we'll get to react to that first thing tomorrow. It'll actually be second or third segment tomorrow because with the big game coming up on Sunday, we get to start tomorrow the same way we start every Friday show during football season with our man Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com will be joining us to talk all things Super Bowl bets, including the national anthem length, the winning Gatorade color that is dumped on the head coach, coin flip, all that sorts of he probably won't talk about the coin flip. The odds are pretty 50-50, so. But everything
maybe
else.
Not. Both are probably favored, so that way, regardless,
the house,
still wins.
So he'll join us at the first of the show tomorrow. He'll also give his pick for the big game and the winner of that. And so
maybe we should pre-record him really early on tomorrow morning to see what the odds are for Bediako. I'm sure there's something
you,
out there.
I guarantee you can find it on one of the new apps and websites out there on whether Charles Bediako will play against Auburn on Saturday. Guarantee you. There's no doubt about it.
Wild.
So, yeah, so that'll be to start the show tomorrow with Lee Sterling. We'll have more conversations on college basketball, previewing big games coming up this weekend, talking about Auburn and Alabama. And then at 3 o'clock, we're going to have Auburn football punter Hudson Cock.
Buta,
yeah. He will be joining us in studio at 3 o'clock from 3 to 3:30 to kind of recap last season, preview this season. He also has a cool message that he wants to share with everybody. So really looking forward to that. Then a full breakdown of the Tigers and the Tide tomorrow. So that is 2 to 4 tomorrow right here on ESPN 106.7. And, hey, speaking of the Super Bowl and the big game, go to ESPNAU.com right now. Go under our contest tab. We got the big game sweepstakes happening. Brought to you by University Ace Hardware and ACCS and Plumbing. We're giving away all sorts of cool prizes where you can win if you get the correct score. So check that out at ESPNAU.com. Also, Auburn women's basketball tonight as well with our friend Britt Bowen, broadcast at 5:45. Tip off at 6. We're back tomorrow. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.